The Old Testament reading is from the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the high mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The event was still 2 weeks away, but I was already getting excited about it. For an 8-year-old boy, there was something that was really fun about summers. Because during the summer, well, you rode your bike, you played sandlot baseball most of the day, I attended to the garden, went fishing with my dad. There were just lots and lots of wonderful things. And looking forward to it near the end of the summer was a thing called the Mission Festival at church. Now, mission festivals were usually held somewhere near the end of the summer. And it was a day when, being from northern rural Minnesota, it was a day, a Sunday, when the farmers actually left their equipment either in the shed or it sat out in the field idle where they had finished when it turned dark the night before. And we all gathered at the church for morning worship and then a picnic and then an afternoon worship where maybe we would talk about world missions. Well, we would talk about world missions, but at least maybe we would still be there as kids in person. It was a great day for my brothers and I to play. We got to play with all our friends. We ran around all over. You know, it's nothing much more fun than running through a cemetery in the daytime. But there were two things that we had on those days that we rarely, rarely got. First of all, there were these huge washtubs, and they were filled with ice and ice water. And I don't mean that puny little things you get in bags, you know, those little ice cubes. No, these were blocks of ice that you got from the ice house. And you put them in there, and inside and in among them was all these wonderful pop bottles. Orange, grape, Heyer's root beer. So we got those. And then right next to it is this about a 5-gallon brown container of vanilla ice cream. It never tasted better. Always kind of partially melted, you know, and they'd scoop it up. And if Mom wasn't watching carefully, we could get as much as we wanted and nobody could stop us. And then we would, at the end of the day, go in for the worship service, and we might even still be awake. But if we did stay awake, and it happened to be one of those years when we actually got a live, in-person missionary from somewhere way out there, far beyond Iowa, then we got to watch slides. And we'd see these people that were very unlike us and looked strange. And in a land that was far, far away, a mission festival was a time to look beyond our own little parish, our own little state, and to see something far away. I didn't know then, but I know now, that it was a time when those farming communities would stop, and they would say thank you to God for all that He had provided them during the year. And they would recognize God in those provisions. And they would recognize in those rather strange-looking people from faraway lands that this too was Jesus. And this was who we served. And then they would show their trust. For their harvest had not yet come, but it was on the way. And they knew it. And they trusted their God to provide it. Last week, Pastor Michael helped us understand the very first part about who we are as the people of God is that we are receivers. We receive the blessings He gives us, and we receive the opportunities that He grants us to serve Him. Now, this time of the year, I understand there's a sport played in the state of Georgia called football. Actually, where I come from in Minnesota, they play the game also. And Friday evening, I was watching the Minnesota Gophers, God bless them, play the Purdue Boilermakers. And Minnesota happens to have one of the really finest wide receivers in the nation in college by the name of Rashad Bateman, who, by the way, happens to be from Georgia. This is where we get all of our good running backs and wide receivers from Minnesota. And he's got one job, really, right? I mean, he sometimes has to block somebody, and sometimes he has to run a route that's just a decoy. But his job and his only job he's got is to receive the ball. Catch that thing. So in the first half, and it's kind of going back and forth, one team scoring and the other team scoring. And the Gophers needed a first down. And he cut across the center, and Tanner Morgan hit him with a pass, and he dropped it. And I began to talk to the television set. It's the only job you got. Catch the ball. Frustrated, we entered the second half. We're still leading. We're still doing okay. But we need a first down really, really badly. And Rashad raced down the sidelines. Tanner Morgan threw it probably as far as he can throw it. And he received it. He caught it. That's what he gets paid the big bucks for. To receive the ball. We are first of all receivers. And if you don't receive it, you can't do anything with it. So we receive what God has given us. And then we go ahead and pass that on. Matthew 25, our gospel for today, says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Huh? Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did it for me.'" Basic to receiving anything is knowing from whom it came. When Rashad Bateman runs out to catch a pass, he can be certain it's going to come from his quarterback, Tanner Morgan. Now, very close to the end of the game, under a minute to play, Gophers leading by 3, Purdue pushing, their quarterback, Jack Plummer, throws a pass. It's received by a Gopher linebacker by the name of Josh Ani. He knew who it came from, which is why he ran back the other way. We need to know where it comes from. You and I today recognize that all that we receive comes from our Heavenly Father. Therefore, we pledge to return a portion of what He has given us back to Him. You know, the sheep are kind of interesting. The sheep are you and me, you know, in this little parable. And they're confused. They're totally confused because they can't remember a time they actually saw Jesus and did all these things for Him. They don't remember it because they frankly didn't think to recognize Jesus in the face of the people that they cared for. They simply were not attuned. The key was, and we talked about this today in Bible class, and LaVon gave us a great example, to be attuned to what's going on around us, to what people are going through, to what they're saying to us, what their eyes look like, what their voice sounds like. For when we are attuned, to what's happening with the people around us, then we begin to identify Jesus. We can see the face of Jesus in the plight of the people. We see Jesus in the lives of the poor, in the weariness of a single parent, in the pain of a long-time partner, spouse of someone who's slowly suffering with dementia and losing control of their lives. We see it in the sallow eyes of a drug addict. And recognizing Jesus, we serve them and we love them. Some years ago, before I retired and stopped preaching, I was serving in at Beautiful Savior in Plymouth, Minnesota, outskirts of Minneapolis. And my major responsibility, I preach a whole lot more now than I did back then because I was the associate and I did most of the counseling, so I preached about once every 3 weeks or so. And my major job was to stand at the door and welcome guests. And I loved that job. I really did. And one Sunday I was standing out there and the early service was going and I was just standing out front talking to some people and this Asian man rides up on a bicycle. And he gets off the bike and he says, are you having church in there? Are you having worship? I said, yes, we are. He said, is this the only time you're going to do it or do you do it again? I said, well, we do it again. A little bit later, we start at 11 o'clock. He said, okay. He said, I'm new to this area. I used to live in downtown Minneapolis. And he said, every Sunday morning, I would go to a Christian church. He said, I'm not a Christian. He said, but I just liked the atmosphere. And it was so happy and joyous and felt good. So I liked to go. I said, well, that's wonderful. You're welcome to come here. He said, yeah, I think I will. I think I'll come back. Late service, he's there. It happened to be Trinity Sunday. The habit at that church on Trinity Sunday was to use the Athanasian Creed. If you're familiar with the Athanasian Creed, it's this long. We only use it on Trinity Sunday. And it starts with something like, if you don't agree and believe in all this, you're going to hell. It's not quite that bad, but it's pretty close to that. And it ends about the same way. It's not exactly inviting to a non-Christian, okay? So my wife and I, and we had, our children were younger then, so we were sitting in the back row, and he was sitting right in front of us. And I kept watching him all service, and you know, kind of helping a little bit here and there, and I thought, you know, when we got the Athanasian Creed, I thought, I've got to talk to this man before he leaves, before church. And so he was sitting there, and it came to be communion time, and we went up to take Holy Communion, and we came back, and he was gone. I never got to talk to him. Never saw him again. We had no address, no anything. To this day, I have to wonder if that was Jesus, who just stopped in on a Sunday morning to see how we were welcoming people who were different than us. First Corinthians. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. You familiar with the term first fruits? Well, even if you're not, I bet you're familiar with the first juicy tomato that comes off your plant. How good that tastes? Unless you don't like tomatoes. How about pecans? a pea pod that's just bursting with peas. A strawberry fresh. A blueberry. These are all the first fruits. And every year we look forward to seeing those and getting them. Every one of them is a sign of what is to come. My favorite was always the carrot that I would pull out of the dirt and rub a little bit of the dirt off and eat it. Nothing tastes better than a fresh carrot with a little dirt on it. I haven't yet convinced my city girl wife, but we're working on it. Every one of those things is a sign of the thing to come. You see the fruits developing. But there is no absolute guarantee that they will all come to fruition. We know that. There could be storms. There could be fires. There could be drought. And yet, we expect them to come. Trust develops as we have the experience of past harvests and the promise of the future. It's a trust that becomes firmly grounded in past experiences. And as people line up walking or driving through to receive donated food and water, or as someone sits on their porch in a rocking chair or a wheelchair and watches someone cleaning up their yard and serving them and making sure everything looks good again. As water begins to arrive at a remote village in Honduras, or a tribe in Africa hears for the first time the good news of the gospel, you can be sure that first fruits work. They make things happen. They bring results to God's people. The harvest of smiles and thank yous and healthier lives reminds us. First fruits work. They make things happen. Receive, recognize, and finally trust that God will use our gifts in the best possible way. We learn to rely on Him to do that. But in the process, we learn to rely on each other, don't we? To share what we have. To use in trust what we have given to get things done, that the word might be heard. Jesus, we are told, was the first to rise, the first fruits. There's going to be more. So we receive Him today in His word and in His sacraments. And we recognize Him in those same gifts of word and sacrament. And we recognize Him in the person that's sitting to your left and to your right in the pew beside Him. We recognize Jesus in the faces and the bodies of the people in Lumpkin County and in faraway lands. And we trust completely that just as Jesus was the first to rise from the dead, you too will rise to eternal life. I had finished my 4 years at seminary and had begun work on another master's degree in Old Testament literature and history. But in the meantime, that summer, my relationship with my wife had really gone sour. I don't know, it probably had something to do with 4 years of seminary and working and playing every sport I could play. But it was going downhill, and man, it was hard to even focus on anything. And I decided I just couldn't keep doing the work, the study. So I went to my professor that had been, well, a professor I had many, many times and whom I trusted greatly, a PhD from Harvard with a heart as big as gold. What I didn't know is what he was actually going to say to me, because I went to Dr. Klein and I said, Ralph, I can't do the work anymore. My life is a mess. I'm just going to have to drop out for a while. And he looked me in the eye and he said, David, don't worry about that. I know what you can do, and I know you'll do what you can. Don't leave school. Now tell me what's going on. Talk to me. And he spoke God's love and forgiveness, and he listened to me. I don't think Dr. Ralph Klein maybe even knows today what that time meant to me and what an unbelievable gift that meant. But God threw him an opportunity his way. Like He throws opportunities our way every day.
And Dr. Klein received it, and he shared what God had given with me. There will be people that you will serve and you will love throughout your life. They may never say a word to you about what you did or what happened. But your Lord will. And this is what he says. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Please pray with me. Father of love, you were willing to give us your Son. You were willing to sacrifice what is most dear to you, that we might have life and have it in abundance. And so this day we give you thanks. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless our service, that you would bless our giving, and that above all, Lord, you would be there to welcome us at our home in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, you are the greatest of all givers, and we are practicing to be good receivers. And we ask, Lord, that you would offer us opportunities. Opportunities to receive your gifts and opportunities. And also we ask that you would give us the vision to see Jesus' face in those opportunities and in the people that surround us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless all those who provide services throughout Lumpkin County, for those who daily take a risk with the COVID virus, for those who serve in government, and for those who are first responders, who serve and protect us. Lord, keep them safe and free of the illness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the missionaries throughout the world who receive the blessing of your word and power, that they may serve you without being prevented from sharing all the gifts that you give, and they might do so safely and honorably and be blessed as they serve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Today we pray for Trinity Lutheran Church in Toccoa, part of our circuit group of congregations, and for Pastor Roland Vega. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them as a congregation, that their place in that community might be marked by service, by joy, and by a sharing of your gospel every day. Grant them not only opportunities, but great gifts that they might carry out your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, Lord, for all of those who are ill and or grieving, not only in our congregation, but our community. For those who are suffering from COVID-19 pandemic, especially Amena, and we ask, Lord, that you would grant your healing hand upon all these people. My cousin Tim, who is undergoing major heart surgery right after Thanksgiving. We pray, Lord, for the medical people who take care of them. We pray for a certain and a complete healing in body and in spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We also pray for the medical and the research personnel who are seeking to develop a vaccine and a way to treat COVID-19. We ask that you would keep them safe, that you would give them wisdom, and Lord, that you would keep from all of our community the sense of greed that might come along with producing such and the ability to make huge amounts of money, but instead to continue as has been, this desire to truly serve and be a part of the community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And finally, Lord, as we approach the end of this year in our country, in our nation, we ask, Lord, that you would grant a smooth transition to all the government agencies, and especially to our federal government. Grant your blessing upon them all. May those who leave go in peace, those who come,
come in peace also. These things and all others we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to serve, asking for opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.